Blog Talk Radio.
Your problems, baby, and I got mine. Let's just spend it all by putting it together. Yeah. When you say you love me, it don't mean nothing. If you care, you'd be there like you used to be. Yeah. I'm searching for the words to make you realize that I really want you to stay. Oh,
trying to tell you, no, we going in. I have to kiss so you don't throw it in. No, but you get crazy when you're horny. I feel like I should be your lover, I should be your friend. All those silly issues made up in your head. Money can pay for your time, but it's not love. And love cannot pay for that shit that I bought ya. Swear to God I should be gone, be alone. Cause I'd rather be with you and all your bullshit. Rather be with you and all your bullshit. I'd rather be with you and all your bullshit. Rather be with you and all your rules. You, yeah, baby. You, ooh, ooh, yeah. You, ooh, yeah. This is what I don't get. Don't know why I'm still here. All my passwords reset, yeah. And I know you did that shit. Cause money can pay for your time, but it ain't love, no. And love cannot pay for the shit that I bought ya, yeah. Ooh, got me up on some drama. Knowing this shit is a problem, yeah. Swear to God I should be gone, leave you alone, but I rather be with you and all your bullshit. Rather be with you and all your bullshit. I'd rather be with you and all your bullshit. Rather be with you and all your bullshit. You, yeah, baby.
Back a little bit. you don't have to love me. You don't have to want me. Don't even have to spend time with me. You don't have to go and buy me things. Just listen now. When I stop to talk, it's good enough. I don't want your body, even though I think about it. It's your mind I want. I just wanna tell you about the things I do.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Thank you. And thank everyone for coming out to another installment of Epiphany Radio Presents World Council. This is Damage Part 2. Now, if you attended the first one, you understand that we talk about the hurt, things that occur in relationships that happen and go on. But tonight we are talking about hoeing, heartbreak, and healing. And we are most certainly going to talk about things that happen in the public sphere and in the public court of opinion. So it's 9 p.m. here on the East Coast. It's 8 p.m. Central Time. It's 6 p.m. on the West Coast. And here on War Council, here on Epiphany, we're going to talk about what it means to be sexually free in this day and age. What causes heartbreak? Why do you stay with that individual that did you dirty? Or, you know, some people like, you know, the whole it's the devil I know type thing. You know, we're going to talk about so many things. You know, are you happy in a relationship? You know, what happens? Like, I'm going to personally handle the whole section, but we are going to talk about Derrick Jackson and what occurred with his wife and everything that went on, along with Kemba and Samuel. We have a lot of good opinions that's going to happen tonight. So, I got my latte. I got my power drink. We are going to get to it right away, straight away. Please understand that War Council is a esteemed panel of conscientious creatives. We hash this out over the scintillating conversation, good music, of course, that you just heard, and a call-in that you can ask questions for or give opinion. Now, here's the disclaimer, all right? This is a discussion-based show. All topics of discussion are not direct therapeutic actions. Epiphany Radio or participants on this panel are not liable or be held liable for any self-application of discussion. Any part of this discussion is constitutionally protected free speech. Here on Blog Talk Radio, /ICPeople, you can call in to this number. The number is 319-527-6300. And we are on all major podcast outlets, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Speaker, CastBox, and more. All right? So, if you're looking for the playback, everything else is going on. So we're going to start bringing our people in as it is. Now, if you know you're on War Council, you got to press 1. That'll help you. When you have questions, press 1. We will tell you exactly what's supposed to be going on. We'll bring people in. We got a couple of people who are going to be leading the discussion. You know, one of them is Quinita, who represents the feminine aspect of it. I'm going to bring her in right away. Quinn, what's good?
Hi. What's good? Everything is good on my end. Happy to be here.
You know, it's always a pleasure to have you. We always rock and everything else like that. I'm going to bring in Miss Tanya Gordon. Welcome back.
Hey, you guys.
All right, that's how we're rocking. You know, so we can't be without the full compliment. Hold on, let me go get Miss Lyric Marie.
Hello,
Lyric Marie,
hello.
Are you there?
I am here. Right. How are you guys tonight?
What's happening? All right, and then I'm going to go get another person from the state of Texas, brand new, was in the discussion last time. We ran it back with her, Miss Angel Kim Mack. Miss Angel Kim, are you here?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I think it's my phone that might be doing this horrible thing right now, but I'm going to make it adjust in a second. But, all right, so we're going to go over to the Devon King side. All right, we're going to go get another person who leads out in this discussion. We're going to go get Mr. Dawood. Are you here, sir?
Yes, I am.
All right, we're going to go get a brother from another mother, Mr. Nikki Black. Of course, he's coming into the discussion. Black, are you there?
Peace, everybody. I'm here.
All right, and we also have our station manager, Mr. Pineapple Calligraphy himself, Mr. Van Meadows.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Mojave, good to hear you, brother.
Good to hear you, too. You know, I'm good. We're getting Van Meadows before he goes on vacation. We're about to be lost for a couple weeks without him.
Yes, sir.
And he knows
uh-oh.
That. That's why he's about to be lost. So we're not going to have the usage of our station manager for 2 weeks. Now, there are some special guests in the crowd. I understand that Andra's in there, Tim About Them Jones Coleman, and of course T. LaShaw with the assist, as always, who knows things. And Danielle's in the back. I know she's in the middle of doing things, but let's not wait. Let's get this started. Hold on. We have another person who pressed 1, but we're going to wait till the question is. We're not going to introduce you to the panel until we're actually done. All right? Now, as you know, we discussed last time, we talked about, you know, the ground rules, everybody knows, you know, one mic per person. You wait till somebody finishes their discussion. You can interact with each other, talk to each other. There's no arguments. Everybody knows how to respect each other. It's a nice sandbox. We like to play in it. So let's get started. Like I don't want to get into the weeds first because I know the weeds are going to take a long time. So we're just going to cover this. We're going to take about 10 to 15 minutes to cover the whole portion, and then we're going to bring in people in and out. I'm probably going to bring Audra and everything else like that. So when we talk about damage and we talk about hoeing, all right, and we know what hoeing is. You know, it's an individual basically – multiple partners, multiple things all the time, not committed to a relationship or say that they want to be in a relationship, but they're fucking multiple people, goes on both ends, men and women. All right. Here's my question to the panel to get us started, right? And then when we get to a certain portion, I'm going to just lean very heavily on Quinn and Dawood for our Derek Jackson, Kevin Samuel portion of the discussion, right? Because that's going to take up the crux of our time, but we're going to get through this particular section. All right, so for one, for the panel, is hoeing good for a relationship if you are dissatisfied with your partner? Is hoeing good for a relationship if you are dissatisfied with your partner? You're going to stay with your partner, you're just going to have a little something on the side, two or three things on the side if you can, and it doesn't affect your relationship, but it makes you a much happier person, makes your relationship happy. Is hoeing good for the relationship if your relationship is bad? So let's start with Angel Kim.
Personally, I wouldn't suggest that. I mean, why be with the other person if that's what you're going to do? Get out of that relationship. If you feel like you're coming to that point, then you should sit down with that person and discuss it. And if it can't be resolved, then walk away. That way no one's feelings are getting hurt and you're not embarrassing yourself or that person. That's how I feel.
Hmm. All right. Lyric Marie?
I'm going to say I agree that it's not a good thing for a relationship, especially if it's been done in deceit and deception. If you are dissatisfied with just a certain area of the relationship and you discuss it with your mate and your mate is okay with you stepping out and doing other things and having extracurricular activities, then that's a decision that you allow that person to make. I don't want to be blindsided by anything. So if it's done in deception, it's definitely not healthy for the relationship. But if you decide that the two of you decide together that you're going to have an open relationship or grant each other passes, then so be it.
All right, I'm gonna put open relationship in the parking lot. All right, so everybody knows when I put it in a parking lot means this is going to come up later. I'm writing it down now. So we're gonna put open relationship in the parking lot. All right, so now we're gonna go to Miss Gordon.
Absolutely not. Listen, one of the main things I always say is don't take away my option. Don't take away my ability to make a choice. And when you do underhanded, as she said, deceitful, unbeknownst to me, without giving me an option of what I want to do about it, how I want to fix it, then you're DA. You're just absolutely wrong.
Oh, DA. Dead ass wrong. Okay, I got you. All right. I like these short, powerful answers. It's good. All right. We're going to go to Quinn. What's your answer?
Okay. I'm just going to be honest. I think it depends on the maturity level of the person, because what people believe and how we tend to operate as we get older is we're not going to deal with certain things. But I know for a fact that when I was younger, if I was dealing with a person and things were not well, in fact, I would go out and I would do my damn thing with, you know, no regards to how that person felt. But at the same token, when they found out, we would still have a conversation, and not all times would that person walk away. So a lot of times people will stay with you even though you've deceived them and you hold out on them because they love you or they want to be with you, or they get into a cat and mouse game with the person or persons that you're involved with. So I think it just depends on where you are in life and how you actually define hoeing, because if I'm involved with several people and all of them are okay with it, from the, let's say, the large group, it's understood that I'm still being a hoe. But for the people that I'm personally involved with, whatever it is I'm providing them with, they're down with that energy and they're okay, and they just see me as me being me. And I don't ever want to discount that.
All right, that's,
because all people's needs aren't the same.
That's legit. I'm going to come back to that. I just want to make sure. I wanted to ask the ladies first, and now we're going to move over to the fellas. Let me start with Dawood. Your opinion.
So the full question again, please. The full question is it okay if you having problems the hoe or something like that?
No. The question is hoeing good for the relationship if the relationship is bad?
I think that that's a like the Flash would say in DC. I think that's an oversimplification. I think that. Right? I think it's an oversimplification. I really do. It sounds like I'm saying, well, it depends on the situation, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that does anybody intend to hoe? Does anybody say, I'm hoeing because this ain't going right? Or do you, as a damaged individual or a hurt and vulnerable individual, run into another hurt or vulnerable individual, trauma bond with that individual, and end up doing something that one or both of y'all really regret later? That's a question to me. And I think that it's labeled as hoeing because people that look on the outside and don't have the nuance as to what exactly happened in the situation can judge it and say, oh, well, they solved this problem by hoeing. Is that really what they did? Or did they, on an unprotected path, run into somebody that was in agreement with the path that they was on, even though they didn't protect themselves either through spirituality, through sound principles, or through therapy? Because to me, it's just an oversimplification to say this person went out there hoeing. Because when you get older, you're more enlightened, and you've had a lot more experience. Do you choose that knowingly, or do you say to yourself, all right, I'm going to do something different? So the short answer to the question that everybody's going to say is, no, it's not good for the relationship. Of course not. But in reality, does it happen? Yes, if you don't use the oversimplified word hoe, that in reality, as you walk through life, you meet people who either have the same situation. And I know we're going to get into the Jackson situation, but I watched a video where there was this one chick, and she was saying that she was having problems with her boyfriend. And she left him. He was having problems with his lady. He left her. They met in a trauma bonding situation. Everybody on the outside is going to call that hoeing. But in reality,
wait.
Individual.
I want you to hold on to that, because we got to get everybody, because we're going to go down the rabbit hole. But
oh, no doubt. Okay, so let me just shorten it. I guess the short answer to, I guess what I'm saying, and maybe I drew this out too long, and I should have gave you a short answer. To me, I just think the hoeing question is the oversimplification, because there's much more nuance and details in this than just I was out there hoeing.
Okay. All right, so now we're going to go to Black.
Just repeat the question one more time.
The question is, is hoeing good for the relationship if the relationship is bad?
Hoeing. Is there another, can we substitute that word, you know, for something like resisting temptation or cheating?
Nope.
Is what you're basically saying?
Nope.
Creeping. Keep the F a secret.
Hoeing.
Why not?
Hoeing.
So
we're going with hoeing. We're not changing it. We're not oversimplifying. We're going with hoeing. We are doing hoeing. Hoeing, it's on the flyer. It's on the flyer, Black. We're going with hoeing.
So based on the, you know, you said the relationship bad, is hoeing good?
For me,
my perspective on life is there's society, and then there, for those who believe in the higher power, there's God, how God made man. And society is telling me not to cheat. Society is telling me not to do these things. I also have a brain where I'm clever, so if I'm able to keep it to myself, then I'm going to hoe, because I got to be the man that this higher power made me to be. I can't keep that bottled up and just act like, all right, let me not do this and let me just be honest and truthful and all this other shit, and it's destroying me and it's killing me. Even if I have this conversation with him, I can't. So I'm going to have to be clever, keep it on the low, and step to the side. And I got to be this man. I got to be this lion. I got to be this polygamous type of individual I feel I was ordained to be, naturally meant to be. So, yeah, I'm going to do it. But in the society aspect, you won't know. So long as you know what you don't know won't hurt you.
But I was on mute. My bad. I was on mute myself. All right. So I'm going to move to Van Meadows.
Okay. So, wow. What a question. It's sad that we actually have to ask this type of question in today's time. Number one, when you're in a relationship and the two of you agree that you're in a relationship together, it's just you and that one other person. So hoeing is definitely not good for that relationship. Certainly there leaves the opportunity for communication. We're going to talk about what the issue is in the relationship. If I got to be a hoe because you're not doing what I need, then I might as well walk away, because it's clear that you're not satisfying me and whatever I need, so I need to find someone who does. So, yeah, it's bad for a relationship.
All right. So let me flip this to the council as it is. Now, I said, if it's bad. Now, the question was, is good for the relationship if the relationship is bad? Now, here's what I propose to you. The relationship sexually is bad. That person cannot fulfill their duties. They cannot do that. They cannot do what they need to do. But they're stellar in everything else that they're doing. They can do everything. They're loving. They're capable. They do everything else that can happen. They're supportive. They're financially stable. They're very supportive of you in every other aspect except sex. Except sex. Except sex. They do everything else. They're good parents. They do the laundry, they wash dishes, you know. They pick out your ingrowns, you know what I'm saying? They do all kinds of stuff, you know. They do everything underneath the sun. But they don't really get to that that portion of the sex that it is. And so they say to you, listen, as long as I don't know and you don't embarrass me, do what you will. Just let me know, give me signs, and allow me to be cool about it. Allow me to not, and you, as long as you don't bring it home, you don't bring anything else home with you, kid, or a sexually transmitted infection, they literally like, okay, listen, you know, I'm going to be, that, and they say to you, I'm going to be a celibate partner. I don't want the sex. I want everything else but. But you can do everything as long as you don't get emotionally involved with that person. How does this change the conversation? So let's, you know, and I love to reverse it and go back up as anything else. But actually, what I think I do, I think I'm a popcorn, because I want to check the energy level. I'm checking people's energy level. So I'm gonna start with Van Meadows. Van, what's your opinion on that?
Bro, we're not going to have a relationship if she can't satisfy me physically. I don't care if you could do everything else nice. Because that's going to leave me unfulfilled, period. And I don't want to have to step outside of our relationship to be fulfilled.
You're only being fulfilled sexually.
No, it's not going to
everything
work
else is everything
I,
else
I
is
will,
a go.
Listen, I will be 47 in a week. In a few days, I'm not being fulfilled sexually. It's not going to work for me. I'm sorry.
All right. I see. We got some questions on this too. So let's tell our responses, move quickly, so we can get to these questions that happen. So I'm gonna go for Van. I'm gonna go. You know, I'm gonna mix it up. You know, male and female energy. So I'm gonna go to Quinita. Your opinion.
I'm with Van on this, honestly. Because here's the thing about me with sex. That's the energy that I need. Everything else I do for me. Sex is the only thing I really need a man for. Now, we got gears in the game. We've been, you know, through this thing. He gets sick or something really happens and it's major. Then I'm in it to win. I'm committed. My heart is that, whatever, whoop-de-whoop. But if we are two young, you know, virile adults and he's just not performing, yeah, no, it's going to be a wash for us, boo. Sign the papers. I'm gone.
Oh, shit.
Terminate the
lease. Dawood, your answer, please.
Why are you asking me to follow that?
I'm asking you to follow that. Because I'm popcorning around. I'm going back and forth. And then we got to get to these questions. I want to make sure everybody's heard. You know I do. Make sure everybody's heard. We're going to go through everything so everybody can get their responses ready. But go ahead.
Man, if you can do everything except for sexually satisfy me, then I'm going to have to bounce. And the reason being is that we're wasting each other's time. And it's just that's really just the bottom line. And there's been situations where I've been in that situation. And, you know, you got other entanglements like children and assets and things like that. And you say to yourself, well, but at the same time, sex, like my good sister said, sex is a different level of bonding. And it's not just intimacy. I mean, you know, it's not just intimacy in the way of physical bond. It's a spiritual bond, too. So if we can't bond spiritually like that and we both physically able to do it, then I got to bounce. Because I know that as we grow in levels of sex, the bond grows. And if we can't grow in levels of sex and get better and kind of grow closer in these levels, what the hell is you ironing my shirt going to do for me if I got to walk around and damn near I'm poking holes in the wall without my hand?
But that's what the hoeing is for. But anyway, we'll come back to that. I'm going to go to Angel Kim.
Well, I'm like this. If the sex is lacking, then yeah, there's a problem. Even though sex does not necessarily define our relationship, but I'm 45, I'm like everybody else. If we talk about it and it's still not any improvement, then yeah, I gotta go.
You gotta go? All right. We're going to go to Black.
Man, if everything is good, you said that person, that woman does everything well but that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
I don't see, I'm not bouncing because of that, man. That shit is kind of corny. You know what I'm saying? Like, but as long as I get my rock off real quick, you know, if you do everything else, especially if they bad, they look good or something, all that shit is meaningless to me. I'll be 50 in a couple of years. I'm not leaving. You do everything good, so I'm going to bounce because you can't turn the doorknob. I mean, like what? You could just lay there and I get my rocks off. I can be below you and still get my rocks off. But you do everything great, but you do that, so I'm supposed to just bounce because of that? Nah, that shit is corny to me.
All right, bet. Now we're going to go to Ms. Gordon.
So the carnal have fun side of me says, I'm out. If it's not good, I'm out. Simply because we know it's not the totality of a relationship, but it is a huge part once you cross that line. Now, the mature side of me, the older side of me, has gotten to the point where I've said, okay, as has been aforementioned before, sex is about connection. It's about spirituality. And if I don't connect with you and you're out connecting with somebody else, then the relationship is going to die anyway because we don't have anything that's really holding it together. Like he said before, you can iron my shirt, but ironing my shirt has no substance to me unless that's feeding a love language. And that right there, that's not going to do anything for me. So my thing is, you know, it's about the connection, and if you really love me, you will be willing to be taught. You will learn to please me in the way that I need to be pleased. There are many times we as women, to keep a man, have done things sexually that we ain't want to do. Let's be real. We ain't like doing it. But because we wanted that man and we wanted him around, we did it. And so, you know, it's all in how you truly love that person. And if in the real intent of connection, if that's been made.
Okay. All right. And then we're going to go to Lyric Marie.
So I kind of had a situation like that in my marriage where he was an excellent provider. He was an excellent father. We did things, quote unquote, being both raised in the church. I was a preacher's kid. He's a preacher's kid. We're not going to have sex till we get married, even though neither of us were virgins. But we didn't have sex till we got married. And then my wedding night, I knew it was going to be a damn problem. Like, I wasn't happy. We didn't. Shit wasn't on it.
Well, I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm just being honest. And I tried with everything in me to do, quote unquote, the right thing. But, yeah, I was miserable. You know, you can't even have a disagreement if you can't look forward to the makeup sex. So we ain't connecting on that level, then that's a big issue. It's not to say I ain't gonna be back. I can't sugarcoat it. Because I've been there, done that, that's a big deal for me. We have to be on the same page sexual.
All right.
Mavi, just real quick before you move on.
Go ahead. Because we got callers, so I gotta get them through. Quick.
I know it's gonna be real brief. Being a person that's been in the ministry for years, you understand, which I'm not active in practicing now. The one thing they always talk about was when you divide either the relationship bed or the marital bed, that's the beginning of the end of the relationship. So
yes, it
proves that the sexual side and the cuddling side has everything to do with the overall bond. And once you start sleeping on the couch or you sleep in another room or whatever,
exactly, that
divides it. And my mom was telling me about her mother and my grandfather and how over the course of years they started sleeping in separate rooms. So in his last days before he passed away, she would send the children to take care of all his doctor's appointments, and she didn't show up because she had lost connection with them. And it's not that she didn't care, but she was desensitized. So this sex thing is very, very important to the overall health of the relationship. And if we kind of just let it go and we're not doing that no more, it's basically the first symptom of the death of our relationship.
All right, that's dope.
Agreed.
All right, so we're going to open up the phone lines real quick because we're going to return to this because I have a question, and I have actually two questions in my inbox, and then I have I'm going to Andra. I hope I said that correct. Andra, did I say that right?
Yes, this is Andra.
Hey, Andra, how you doing? I heard you're our special guest. We heard that you do shows and everything. So thank you for coming to the War Council.
Well, hi.
Yes, yes. Quinn told us that. And but you have a question for the panel
related to
this particular topic. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I have a question and I have a quick comment. The first thing is there are people successful in their marriage while out hoeing. I'm not one of those people. I don't believe in that. But there are successful marriages according to their standards because somebody or both individuals hoe on a consistent basis. The question is, though, how do we feel about religion controlling people in their relationship if the sex is not good or if there is no emotional connection? Do we stay married because we made a vow, or do we leave and seek out something that we're more connected to?
I would definitely
Hold on, one second. One real quick. If you have noise in your background, please mute your mic until you're called on to speak, because we're picking it up. So if you have like noise in the background, just mute your mic, and that way we'll be able and we'll make sure that you call, because you know here on War Council, we make sure that everybody is heard. So, Audra, could you repeat that question, please?
How about do religion? You guys feel about religion being used for people staying in marriages that they're not happy with, relationships that they're not happy with, religion versus spirituality? What do you guys think about that?
All right, who would like to jump in and answer that first?
I'm second.
I really would.
Wait, hold on. Keep that one you just spoke. I want. Look, matter of fact, let's do it this way, because you just spoke.
No,
let's go to the
first.
Yeah, I was going to go to the ladies first. All right, so I'm gonna go with Angel Kim and then work my way down. All right, so Angel Kim, your opinion.
Okay, so let me understand the question. You're saying how does a difference in religion,
how you
and
feel about
spirituality?
The question is, how do you feel about religion making people stay in relationships?
Controlling.
They know that controlling relationships. Matter of fact, let me write this down. Wait, let me ask. Hold on, real quick. Let me ask Tila Shaw if she caught this question real quick, because I'm not sure. Because I didn't finish writing it. Real quick, so I can make sure that happens. Cut this music down real quick. Where is T? Hold on. Hey, T.
You would ask me. Yeah. The question is more along the lines of, how do you feel about religion controlling your relationship in regards to you staying in a relationship, whether you're happy or not?
That's the question.
Okay.
Thank you.
To answer that, I don't agree with it at all. I mean, nothing should control your relationship but you. Nothing outside of that. You determine if, you know, you want to be in that relationship or not. So if that person is using religion as far as, you know, because we got married under the house of God, we have to stay together per the Bible or whatever. To me, that's like forcing me to be in something that I'm not happy in. And if I'm not happy, I don't want to be there, regardless of what it is.
Okay. We're going to go to Lyric Marie.
I absolutely don't think that religion should have that much control. If you have standards, you have beliefs, that's one thing. But to say I'm going to stay in a relationship that I'm not satisfied with, that I'm unhappy with, that I'm not growing in, that's not productive for me mentally, physically, emotionally, that's bondage. No. I agree. No one should have that much control. People change. People, you know, I'm not advocating divorce, but I'm saying, like, I got married really young. So who I was at 23, I wasn't, I evolved, and we weren't on the same page. We just weren't. And now he's happily married to somebody else who's much better for him than I was. And I'm happy that he's happy. So, no, I don't believe you should stay in a relationship because the church says or religion says or mom and them said. No.
All right. We're going to go to Ms. Gordon.
So I guess I'm going to be of the unpopular opinion. One, it's all based on what your religious beliefs are. And for those of us who proclaim to be believers of the Bible and follow the precepts and teachings thereof, correct me if I'm wrong, but the only reason for divorce in a marriage is that one spouse is cheating, is because of adultery. And the Bible didn't say we divorce because I ain't happy. We don't stay together because he's not, the sex isn't good. That's not what the Bible says. So my thing is, it depends on some people are religious, and I think that's the problem with many of us. We're religious, but we don't have relationship. And when you have a relationship with God, that's a different story. But personally, myself, I stayed in my marriage even after there was a whole lot of hoeing on his part, because I remembered my vows that said better or worse, and we were at the worst. So I had to do all that I had to do as a woman to make sure that I had upheld my part of it, so that when I walked away, I didn't feel like I was a failure. So I stayed longer than I should have, and I put in the work. Now, we did end up divorcing anyway. I did end up divorcing him simply because his behaviors didn't change. But that's where communication comes in. Because, yes, we may be different people as the marriage progresses, but that's where we communicate. That's where we talk to each other. That's why we have that open fellowship, so that we can talk about those things. Because I say, my spouse is my best friend. If he can't tell me my breath stank or my toes stank, nobody in the street better not tell me. He better be the first one to tell me, because that's my best friend.
All right. All right, so I'm clocking everybody in. We're doing really good with time. At 10 o'clock, we got to do a station identifier, so just so everybody knows. But I'm letting everybody rock with, like, 90 seconds for your comment. So we're going to go to Quinita. Quinn, your answer.
So I was told by a pastor that no matter how I felt, I needed to remain married. And eventually, if I kept praying and I stayed on track and did all of the things that I was supposed to do as a wife, then my feelings and my emotions and things would change towards my marriage. Guess what? They did not change. No matter what I did, I felt like I couldn't be in a good relationship, in a good place with God, because I couldn't tell the truth to everybody that was outside of my marriage, because I couldn't really admit to myself that I had gotten married for all of the wrong reasons. So I think when we understand and we apply the Bible, we have to go into things that are permissive will. Like, God allows us to do certain things because that's what we've pushed through our own mind that we want to do, even when he knows that it's not going to have the outcome that we're seeking. And that's why
exactly.
He also forgives us. So in understanding that, I believe that no sin is greater than the other. So when I walked away from my marriage, I was okay with that. And God was okay with that because he knew my heart in that moment, and I could really go into fellowship and relationship with him, and that was exactly where I needed to be.
Now, that's what's up. Now, gentlemen, I'm going to take one comment, and then we're going to do the station identifier and then return. Dawood.
Let me preface what I'm going to say by asking the question, does God want you to suffer? That's the key question when we talk about should religion control your relationship. Now, remember, I'm a man that was a minister for 10 some odd years, and I know all about religion controlling relationships, and specifically marriages. And what I do know is there's the public perception of what religion teaches you about marriage, then there's the private perception. And the private perception has to do with the pastor keeping you and your congregation so that both of y'all can continue to pay tithes, so he cannot possibly allow y'all to split your relationship because that's two members gone. And that's reality. And a lot of people don't want to hear that. And a lot of people think that that's reality. But the true reality is that when you come into that office, that pastor is not thinking first about your relationship or even God. He's saying to himself, I'm getting ready to lose two congregants. Because if there's a divorce, there's always the possibility that the woman will leave or the man will leave or both. That's tithes gone. That's people gone. That's a family gone. So he would much rather counsel y'all, even if you're suffering, even if the sex is bad, even if one is slapping the shit out of the other. He would much rather counsel y'all to stay together for those reasons first, and then because God said so, and because the Bible said so, and it's the right fucking thing to do. But in reality, what he's thinking on his mind is, damn, I'm getting ready to lose two good congregants. I had a family here. What the hell happened? And so for me, when I really think about it at the end of the day, for anybody to put religion as the reason why y'all staying together it's a bad reason as far as I'm concerned. Because love, security, protection, nurturing, and all those other things supersede what's on some paper. And in reality, if you're not receiving that, no amount of scriptures, meditation, prayer, fasting, or charity is going to give you that shit. So why the hell should you use it as a reason to stay in a situation that the other person refuses to give you those things? That's my thought.
Okay. All right. Bet. So we're going to return.
I'm sorry, I cursed on the show.
Who the fuck cares? Who the fuck cares? Not a fucking show. Who fucking cares? We don't fucking say what the fuck we want to say. Even before the stream is fucking ending. Let me stop. Let me do this real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, War Council is a sponsored program of Raw Links LLC, Handmade Healing Jewelry. Raw Links, be raw. You can find on Facebook. Why be average when you can be raw? If you go to the web, if you go to our event page, you will see they have a current thing going on, right? A current special for all you poets. You can get a $30 poet bracelet with healing stones in it. So if you like it, I love it. Make sure you get more of it. Welcome. This is Epiphany Radio Universe here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to run our promo right now. Hold on. Okay, we're back. Welcome back to War Council here on Epiphany Radio Universe. We're talking Damage Part 2. I'm your host, Mojave. We have our esteemed panel of conscientious creatives here joining us for this evening, and we are currently asking the question, and the question is, I'm messing this up, Taylor Chow. All right, how do you feel about religion being a controlling factor in relationships where the couple is happy or not? And we are returning to Nikki Black, who's up to deck to comment on this. Black, your opinion.
Real quick answer, I would rather have whack sex than be with a religious person.
He said quick, I'll rather whack sex. All right. we're going to move on. We're going to move on to Van Meadows. All right.
Well, part of the problem is we're talking about religion. Religion controls everything, and that's the problem. That's why I don't deal with religion. I deal with relationship, because religion will have you doing stuff that you should not be doing. But relationship, which God allows you free will, that's why he made us. He created us with this thing called free will, because no way, if I was doing some type of minister counseling where I would tell a woman to stay with her husband who just continuously beats her head in. No, absolutely not. I agree with what Dawood said. I agree with the young lady that said that the Bible allows, the only issue that Bible allows for divorce is infidelity. Well, divorce is only allowed because of the issues, the iniquities that flows out of a man's heart. So whatever, you know, being unhappy and all of that, because that's exactly what my ex-wife said. She was unhappy, and she said that God told her that she did not need to be in this marriage. That's okay, good for you. So, yeah, that's a very sore subject with me. But religion, definitely, Dawood is right. First thing they see is they're about to lose two members because one or both of them are leaving the church. Not how can I help heal this family? Can this family be healed? But I'm losing two members. And I totally disagree with that thought process, because here are two lives that are about to be destroyed because of what the church has told them to do for hundreds of years. Oh, just pray about it and let it work out fine. No, sometimes it does not work out, and it does not be just fine. So that's my thoughts.
Okay.
My brother.
Audra, did that answer your question?
It definitely did. I am a proponent of leaving, not cleaving, if it's not working. So, yes, definitely answer my question. Thank you guys for entertaining it.
All right. So, thank you for bringing the question. Now, what we're also going to do, we're going to take one more question because the heartbreak is going to come along. I'm going to skip over that part because I know this Derrick Jackson thing and Kevin Samuels thing is going to take off. So we got to get to the meat and bones. I'm freely doing that, but we're going to answer another question from Tim about them drums Coleman, the Brosif, my man from Cali. Tim, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Tim, what's your question, sir?
It's actually not a question. It's a comment back to the Holman thing.
Go ahead.
Looking at it from a different perspective, like hoeing to me is like you go buy a car, you drive it for a couple of years, and then at a certain point, you just go start renting cars. Who the fuck does that? Like, really?
I know a bunch of people that buy brand new cars. And then they rent cars to drive out of town, you see, because they don't want to put all those miles on the car they own. You see where I'm going with this? A lot of people do it. That's why we got car dealerships and as well as car rental places. Like I live in Houston, so, you know, shit, you throw a rock, you're going to find a car. Like, we have more cars than we do feet. People do it. I'm telling you. It is what it is. People do it.
Can you find me an SUV? Appreciate you. Thank you.
I probably could. I really could. I got a couple of personal dealers. We'll talk offline.
All right, we can talk offline.
I mean, I know that they do it, but what's the purpose in that? If I buy a car...
I just told you to not put all those miles on the car that they own.
No. I get that. But, okay, so back to this relationship thing. If I'm with this woman and she's not checking the box and I'm not having a conversation with her about it, why am I with that woman? I don't need that woman.
We don't say that
when people outside of the marriage or outside of that relationship, then you're saving her miles.
Say what?
I said, I guess if you step outside of that relationship, then you're saving her some miles. I don't know. But, yeah.
There you go. I don't care about her whole back. I ain't trying to save her miles. I'm trying to save my own damn miles.
No, I know. That's why I say I would definitely get out of that relationship.
All right, all right. Can we switch miles for body count? Can we switch miles for body count?
Because
that's what we're talking about. We are talking about body count.
As a man, I speak myself. If I found out a woman has a high body count, I don't want to touch her, period. But I'm not trying to step to her with a high body count either. You can't have it both ways. So if you're going to be with that person, stay the fuck with that person. If not, let them get on and do what they do, period.
Agreed. I think body counts are like your credit history. After 7 years, they fall off. Yeah.
No, they don't. Because some of them give you stuff that stay with you.
It was only one time, the body count doesn't count.
All right. I'm trying to get that back on my things. All right. So listen, this is what I'm going to do. Audra and Tim, I'm going to leave your mic's open so you guys can respond freely because I see the conversation is going to go. But I got a very, very, very important question that comes through, and this is for the panel, right? And I'm going to propose this question, and it needs answers, but we got to get through the answers quick. So I'm only allotting 10 minutes for this entire process starting from now. Here's the situation. So you've been with this person for 17 years. You've been with them. They've been abusive. They've done everything. They've cheated. They've had children. They fuck other people. They fuck their ex-wives. They've done all this other shit. So you are tired of the abuse. You're done with it. You're trying to figure out a way to get out. You got kids with this individual. You got things in common. You got economic circumstances all tied the fuck together, right? But you decide to not fuck this person because you're like, fuck you. There's nothing about you that I even like. I don't even like the smell of you. And that person sleeps in a rocking chair and you sleep in a bed, and then they just do shit to just fuck with you all the time, like fuck with you while you're sleeping, go through your shit, do other things, look for things, try to financially pull you down and everything else like that. Are you wrong for not fucking this individual that you're married to, even when they request that you do so? And they want you to, they want to have that feeling of you, even though they've been fucking paying other people and fucking them and all kinds of other shit. But you refuse to sleep with this person. You haven't slept with this person in years, and now they're barking up your door. They're bothering you. They're telling you that they want to have sex with you. They want to be with you, but they do nothing. They do nothing to try to change or heal the situation. What does the War Council have to say about that?
Yeah, you're wrong for not having sex with them because you're still there. Here's the thing about this. When you're done, you need to fucking be done. Like, this is why people find themselves in fucked off situations, because mentally you've checked in to trying to play the game that he's already or she's already won when they started fucking over you and you started trying to prove to them that you have weight in their life. If financially there's a situation, and here's the thing, people file bankruptcy and they leave with nothing every day. If you're a survivor, you're going to survive. If you're going to die, you're going to die. But I'd rather die seeking my freedom than live here for a lifetime full of misery. But that's just me. So if you're going to be there, then you have to be there and continue to subject yourself to the full gambit of whatever it is, because it's clear that you also don't want to leave. Because when you're done, trust me, nothing's holding you in there. You're done. Mm-hmm. Like, people say, oh, I'm done and this and that. Well, this is what I'm going to do to get them back. You can't get somebody back after they done did all that shit to you. Now you're just being silly.
Okay. All right. So any other comments?
I was once told, and it was a very harsh statement, but it really turned the light on for me. What you continue to allow, at some point you begin to deserve. It was harsh. I didn't like it, but it was the truth. When you know that you're in something that's not good for you and you make excuses, because saying, I'm going to get you back, you're making an excuse to stay in the dysfunction. So, yeah, I feel like, once you have, when is enough enough? Only you can determine that. So what you continue to allow, you continue to allow a person to disrespect you, degrade you, mishandle you, mistreat you. When do you start to love and care about yourself enough to say, all right, this is it? So, yeah, in that situation, what's holding you there to say, oh, because he does this to me, now I'm not going to sleep with him? That makes absolutely no sense. If you're living with them, you know, you're cohabitating, you're functioning as a couple, but you're going to say, because he's done all these things, it's only enough for me not to sleep with him. It ain't enough for me not to leave. That's insane.
Okay. Next, who was that? I know I heard, I don't know if that was Dawood or Van. Was that you, Van?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
I was going to say that, no, I'm not wrong for not having sex with her, because the Bible says that, you know, we don't have to say have sex is separated for a time for prayer and fasting. So, yeah, so I'll be praying and fasting about the whole situation. And if we don't have sex, we just don't have sex. But after 17 years, it's a problem. We should have been gone once, you know, it should have been over once it first, you know, there was an issue and all of that stuff was going on. But, again, most people are in these situations because they're tied to religion. Because I'm going to exercise my free will. That's my first wife. I exercise my will.
Van, put
right.
that on the T-shirt.
Oh, you got it, babe. You got it.
I'm exercising. Look, we can make that happen. We can get that done by the end of the week. Anyway, we really can, though. Did anybody else have any commentary?
And like Mojave said, they aren't, from the description you gave Mojave, they're not operating in anything but taking care of Bill. That's it. There's no connection. And I would not want to give him, as one of my friends just texted me, I wouldn't give him my cookies, my nabs, my crackers, my communion wafers, nothing, okay? Because when I have sex with you, we are exchanging fluids. We are exchanging spirituality. I don't know what you're bringing from the people you done been hoeing with. Don't bring all that mess around me. Nah, you can't get none of this.
Okay, so I'm gonna just throw this grenade in there real quick. Just real quick. What if they blew through 15K and you don't even know where that money went, but they're always chin-checking you for your money, and that literally they're trying to figure out if they can still hit you and get away with it because you are being unruly and not allowing yourself to be a good mate by allowing them allowing them into your financials to figure out where your money is. Got real quiet. It got real quiet.
What that sounds like to me.
Oh, hell no.
What that sounds like to me is that sounds like some cult stuff. And a lot of times when you're involved or you're around a cult, there's very, like, so-called stringent rules, but the rules only favor one party and they don't favor the other party. And when you sign up for that in the beginning, I'm not saying that you deserve it, but what I am saying is that a lot of times you don't really realize how real it can get once the, I guess, the nostalgia of that particular partner that you was willing to jack all the bullshit for wears off. So for me, I think that's what that reminds me of. It might not be that situation, but generally a person, whether male or female, that imposes those kind of situations on you, they're involved in some kind of cult, and you know, it's surrounding a cult. And you know, that's another thing that we haven't talked about and we may not talk about, but cults exerting their influence on relationships. Because to me, it's almost the same thing. Whereas people be making up their own rules about relationships, you got to follow these shifts, and they adjust them according to this and that. And in reality, it's like it never is healthy for either individual.
Mm-hmm. All right, so listen. All right,
but
so
sometimes
we
can't
stop
get
right
away
here.
Because it's
look,
not
look.
Safe.
We're going to stop right here. No, we're going to stop right here. We got to stop. We're going to stop because we got to get to this. We got to get to the meat and bones. We got to get to the meat and bones. So, you know, we've been talking about this. I've been seeing this. We've been watching these discussions go crazy on Facebook and Instagram. I've been seeing the videos and everything else like that. And you know, certain people have just been, like, doing a whole bunch of conversation, and we're going to get to the conversation. Now, I'm actually going to get the hell out the way, and I'm gonna let y'all do. I'm gonna leave the conversation to be directed by Quinn and by Dawood, right? Because this is what's gonna happen. So we're gonna talk about this Derrick Jackson Kevin Samuels. We're gonna talk about Derrick Jackson first because that's the meat and bone. So we're talking about Mr. Self Love Ambassador, the entrepreneur, the Heal Together book. The I Still Want It, the Cheating Man's Heart fiction novel, the Single Mothers for Grown Men Only, the A Cheating Man's Heart Part 1, Part 2, you know, the Mentally Stimulate Me games, you know, and lo and behold, he gets caught out there cheating on his wife. And his wife is saying that God has forgiven him. They're going to write a novel about it. They're going to do all this other stuff. So he fucked up. That's all I can say is he fucked up. And he was jacking. He was doing all this stuff. He was working with a very specific crowd. People brought into everything else. You know, he was making himself down. He was running around with Ace Metaphor and I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. That was my watch. I was like, what the hell? Siri be listening. So Now we see everything else that's happening. We see these videos come out. I forgot the sister's name on YouTube. She threw all the tea in the world about the situation. This is crazy. So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to get out the way. Matter of fact, how bad is this when we have someone who literally has promoted being faithful, standing with your wife, doing all these different things, and then turn around and he does the bullshit that he does and then gets on there with his wife and does everything else that's happening? How does that work? So, Quinn, I'm going to turn this over to you and then I'll, and Dawood, and I'm going to mute myself and only check things. If you need a check, if you need a check on information, holler at me. And we will throw the questions. You get the questions, just hit me. I'm in the inbox right now, and I'm looking for all the questions. I'm taking all inbox, like anybody who's listening, I'm taking all inbox questions now. So if you got the inbox questions, hit me now or hit my text. Let me know. And then, matter of fact, Van, are you in the studio?
I can be in a few moments.
All right. Now, then what I'll do is when you guys, I'll make sure that everybody gets heard. All right. So since you're not in the studio, because I was like, I'm really going to go read this thing real quick and come back. But I'll wait. So, Quinn, I'm turning it over to you and Dawood. Take over. And Tim, your mic is open. Audrey, your mic is open. Anybody else has questions, raise your hand, press one. All right. And away we go.
Okay, cool. Andra, I'm going to just jump out for our guests first because, you know, I know how the council is. Andra, I know you've been waiting all day. You've been waiting all day, Houston style. So about Mr. Jackson, just tell me what the most profound, for lack of better term, fucked up part of this was to you. Let's start there.
Gosh. I think for me, okay, for sure, how the black male congregation is now so excited that we have killed the Black Panther. Like, they're all excited. Oh, my gosh, we knocked him off the throne. He's no longer the king of Zamunda. Like, yes, this is wrong. This woman is traumatized and trapped by religion, which is why I asked that question initially. But he was still hipping us to the game. Yeah, he's a shitty-ass messenger, but he was still hipping us to the game of being in these streets and being unfaithful, and he ain't got no mental health issues. He, you know, he's not a sex addict. He just likes to fuck other women. Point blank, period. So I'm not mad at Derrick Jackson. Thank you for being the mold that you have been all these years and telling us women that men be out there doing a whole bunch of shit they don't need to be doing. It. We got some flags now to pay attention to. That's my take on this.
Okay. Okay. Dawood, you want a popcorn?
I don't know if you can popcorn because he can't see the board. But Dawood, you go, and then I'm back. So go ahead.
Well, first off, with all due respect, I disagree with the notion that anybody took that nigga down but himself. He took himself down. He did what he did. He involved himself in that stuff. And if anybody is celebrating, which, to be very honest with you, most of us really could care less. But what we do know is this, is that I'll take it from my own personal experience. What I know is this, is that there's one thing to be, quote, unquote, helping people. It's another thing for you to come off as if you are an authority and you live these values and you don't. And for me, when I was coming up, I spent 27, 28 years in religion. And what I found at some point, which really kind of shocked me for a certain amount of years, was that I was struggling my best to live by a law that nobody was living by. So now you're telling me we're going to move the goalposts? Now all of a sudden, because he got caught, it's okay. He was, you know, he was still giving. Get the hell out of here, son. That dude attempted to come off as if he was living the highest of values And the crazy part about it is, if you watch the video, he starts sliding into the third person. That's disgusting. You know, anything that Derrick Jackson does, nigga, just say me. Please say me. So here's the thing for me. You know, again, I am a you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I was a practicing minister. I don't necessarily practice no more, though I still use my voice. I've been through that. I've been through what Derrick Jackson been through. And I know what it's like to, and that's why I say there's more nuances to this than just he likes to screw people or whatever. There's more nuances to it. Because when you go through a vulnerable time in your life, you may meet somebody who is also vulnerable. And y'all may come together and do something that is considered unethical by a lot of people. But the reality of it is that once you come to your senses, then you know you have to fix something. And when you fix it, do you fix it in the public eye or do you fix it in the private eye? Well, unfortunately, he had to fix it in the public eye, and that's what has a lot of people looking at him with the side eye. Now, here's the thing. This woman that he was with took pictures of the nigga's feet, took pictures of his apartment. What did you do that for? You understand? You just like this feet? You just like this apartment? So to me, it all reeks of a setup. And I don't like Derrick Jackson, but I know enough to know that. And am I happy that he got set up? No, I'm not. I'm not at all. But what I would say to you is there would be a lot more forgiveness if he didn't come off the way he came off. And so you live by the sword, you die by the sword. It's the same thing as like an Umar Johnson, who all of us in the black power community, we served years. I mean, I served years in them streets, in the cold, in the heat, or whatever. And now you're going to come on the scene and say things like, I'm the only one doing this. Get out of here, nigga. And so when he got there with the conscious stripper, none of us had mercy on him. Why? Because he came off as if he was the 13th floor in a 12-floor building, just like Derrick Jackson. When you come before the people, if you're humble, the people will forgive you. But if you come before the people and you're arrogant, they won't. And I know for women, I don't think he was arrogant because he wasn't talking to y'all. But we know that he was, and that's what has people happy that this happened to him, is that he was arrogant. Am I happy? No, because I've been through it, and I know. The nigga was set up. He was set up, and I know he was set up, because you don't take pictures of a dude's feet and their house and all this other stuff if you just was having sex with them. You intended to do something, and you did it. So that's kind of my take on it.
Okay.
Can I please jump in, sir?
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
So check this out. Fuck Derrick Jackson and fuck Kevin Samuels. First of all, there are two sides of the same coin to me. Derrick ran around here. He got set up or not, he put himself in that situation to get caught. If he wouldn't have been there, it wouldn't have happened.
Indeed.
So, and then he's running. So for the people that say men are happy, no, we not happy, because some people just don't care. But this dude
exactly.
Running around tearing down men, he telling secrets. Okay,
but
that's
the,
cool.
They want us to be happy, though, bro.
Huh?
They want us to be happy because it fits the narrative, and nobody really cares.
But those are generalizations. At first when I first found out about the dude, okay, he's trying to help sisters and hip them to the game. That's cool. But you're throwing too much shade, sir. You're doing too much. So you can't be out here unfolding. But my problem is when he was exposed, he blamed God.
Right.
He ain't taking
exactly.
No blame accountability for shit.
Exactly.
His wife did it. She took pictures of his feet. God did. He was like, fuck you, sir. Up the ass twice backwards.
Okay.
Wow.
My bad. I'm sorry. I just. Look, if you truly out to help people, help them with no ulterior motive. Because
you're gonna get
your just due if your motives are really pure. But this dude out here shitting on the next man while he out here flying down to Miami, got people up in his house. No, sir, fuck you.
Yep.
And then had her sitting up there holding his hand. Ooh, never mind. Oh, it's somebody else. Go ahead.
It's like the meme. It's like the meme I saw today. It said, "Do this just like we rehearsed." it's fucked up.
Blink twice. Blink twice.
All right. So I'm gonna go to Black.
Mojave, let me say this real quick. And if you look at the woman he cheated with, and you look at his wife, there's the problem.
Say so.
The problem is that bastard was not honest with himself, and he's sitting there telling these women, "Oh, you need to." You know, all of these very, I don't know what you want to call them, very positive messages about how they look or whatever. But in reality, Derek has a type. And here's the thing that I didn't say. Derek has a type. And when you are inside religion, because it looks like he's patterning his whole shit after religion, you get you a woman that the public would be pleased with, and then you freak off with the kind of woman you like in the private. That's duplicitous.
Yes, sir.
So to me, when I know somebody's living like that, it's very hard for me to listen to them because I don't know what you're saying is absolutely true because you're not even living true to yourself. It would be one thing if Derek was living the truth and it was what it was and he cheated with a wife that looked like his or kind of like his, but that woman is a far cry from that delicious-looking chick he was sliding off with is all I know.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm
mad you said
this.
Delicious.
I'm going to say this. Can I say this? And I'm gonna just
be
honest.
No, go ahead.
The lady that he's married to has been his wife for I don't know how long. You know, and
for 2 years they went to
college together.
Yeah.
So they've been together for quite some time. So they've been together. So here's the reality: he owed it to her to marry her.
He's been playing games
with her mind for a long, long time. And so what he did was he finally, and see, let me go back to what my statement earlier about permissive will. God gave her exactly what she wanted, and it was not for her. He's not for her because here's the thing. Many motherfuckers would not have looked at Derrick Jackson had he not become popular. So that deliciousness that he was sliding upon, she set him up because he was famous enough for her to set him up because she probably would have bypassed him on a regular street on a regular day in any regular city in the great old USA.
He's a former football player, sis.
He's a former football player.
I think he would have had a little bit of play.
But here's the thing. I've been a woman before. And what I know is what we want is what we think other women can't have. So it's about the popularity of who he was, about who he is right now. So
I agree with
that. If he was only known by the school, you know, at the school that he played ball for or the team or whatever, here's the thing. He's become a household name because of we're talking about him right now. He owns right now at your house or wherever you are. But, you know, because of the platform that he's created, and that is why women are attracted to him, and that's why certain types of women he now qualifies for. Because if he was just Derrick Jackson going and working at a publishing company on the bottom floor moving books, he might have got some action, but he wouldn't have got all that her eyes have seen and now they're crying about. Trust me.
All right.
Okay.
So
Tanya here. Oh, go ahead.
All right. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay. So a couple of things with this. One, I agree with the guy that talked about him pandering. That's my problem. Derrick Jackson reminds me of the dude that is your dude's friend. That when your dude fuck up, he the one that you're talking about, listen to this, I told you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
One, that type spirit, you slip.
You
wrong. Okay.
Me.
That's the first thing. That spirit right there, I don't like that. The second thing is I was his wife. I married somebody that God told me not to marry. But because I had a child out of wedlock, I said if I ever had a child out of wedlock, I would marry that man. And look at me. I'm divorced. Do I think this marriage is going to last? I do not, based on that premise, okay? Third thing, the heifer he slept with, let me tell you something. I watched the heifer, the second one, her interview, and she talked about she came to talk to him because she was broken up with her guy from him cheating on her. So when Derek mm-hmm. said he was separated, going through yep. a divorce, she said, oh, okay, then I'm not with my man. So she willingly went into a situation she knew she should not have dabbled in. Now, both yep. of them are yep. ass backwards wrong, okay, simply because she knew what she was doing. It was about the clout. Would she have messed with him otherwise mm-hmm. if he was not world-renowned? No, she would not. These hoes, these side chicks, think they winning in these streets because nobody has gotten their tail and told them how nasty, raunchy, down-to-earth, nasty the heifers are. Okay? And that's
as a former side chick, you can't tell me that. I don't give a damn. And that's the issue, and I'm just being honest.
As a former side chick, I can say downright nasty because that's ugly
that's
to get in somebody else's situation.
But pause. Wait. Pause. One mic.
No, we're right. talking.
I know y'all talking,
it's
but we are. We have more. Because you know, I got to pause.
I got to
pause because we got. Hold on. We all can't.
We're moving in.
All right, listen. This is what we got to do. We got somebody called in. They got a question. We got to answer the questions. You know we got to do that. We got to keep that open. We lost our woo. We got them back. Whole bunch of stuff is happening in the meantime. We're going to have one more person. Hold on. Now, don't forget, Andre, Tim, your thing is J-Rob has joined us. J-Rob, your mic is open. Tim, let me know when your mic needs to be open because J-Rob just came into the building. So I just saw him. I didn't know he was always on all the way at the bottom. I didn't even see him. But we're going to go with area code 857. All right, hold on for a second. Area code 857. Hello. Who may I be speaking? Hey,
Mr. Boston?
Hey, this is Mr. Boston speaking. That's who's what? Speaking.
What's up, Mr. Boston?
What's up, Mr. Boston?
Do you have a question
for
the panel, sir?
I'm sitting here listening for a week. This is a hot topic over here. My mind.
Yeah, and the funny part of it is I'm playing his track, The Secret Garden.
Oh Lord.
God has a sense of humor. That's funny. Go ahead, Mr. Boston. What's your question?
I mean, I really didn't have a question, but I'm listening to this thing go down, you know, about marriage and the part where, you know, the person told another person don't marry that person, now that person's divorced. You know, wow. That it reminds me of me two times around. So, you know, when I first brought my first wife home, my father simply said he didn't even say hi. He just told me that girl's no good. And sure enough, she wasn't. 7 years later, I ended up going into another marriage that my father said, that girl is no good. And sure enough, you know, I get what the woman was saying, was speaking on. You know, sometimes we allow, we see it right in front of our face that the person is not for you. But, and mm-hmm. we stop following our intuition, and we stop following our heart, and we act on ignorance and stupidity, you know. And a lot of people act out, get married for some crazy reasons. Others get married for simple reasons. But that intuition in your heart is telling you, hell no, and we override what our intuition tells us not to do. And we end up being hurt, destroyed, tossed and turvy, and everything else. And the end game is, oh, I should have listened. But the fact of the matter is that we want to be our own person, and we don't want nobody thinking for us. But sometimes when somebody tells you that person is not for you, sometimes we have to pause and think about
for real.
The other person, especially if it's, mm-hmm. it's somebody that's corrupt telling you this. There are a lot of times people see things in the person you want to marry, and a lot of times people see the person you want to marry doing things outside of what they're supposed to be doing, and they don't want to tell you because they feel they're going to either break the friendship, lose the friendship, and that's the end game. You know, but sometimes mm-hmm. we have to sit back. We have to sit back yeah. and analyze what other people are telling you, because the reality of it is that your friend or that person might not want to hurt you or not tell you what that person is, but they're trying to give you some insight. So you have to use your intuition and not let love blind you to reality. That's real. Stop allowing okay. love to blind you so you can see clearly before you walk through that door and say, I do. Because in the end game, the person you married is not the one that's going to be hurt. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be angry. And you're gonna, and, mm-hmm. And believe me, I know for a fact, I know from experience, when that happens, every man or woman that comes in that in your path that you think you like and you think is marriage material is going to get the baggage from that prior relationship. And if that okay. happens, the whole situation from that point on, that situation, when you walk into that situation and get married, you're going to take that baggage with you and that marriage is not. And then who do you blame?
Okay. All right, Mr. Boston, thank you very much for your comments, because we definitely have to keep the program moving because we're on a tight schedule. But I thank you for your comments.
Indeed.
Stick around. We'll have comments on that in a second because we got to get back to the other thing and also answer the other questions that we have. But thank you for calling. I appreciate it. There was time on your account, bro. We missed you on the ski mask way. I don't know what happened to you, but, you know, we'll figure it out. But I'm going to put you back in the queue. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to talk about after in the after hour, we'll talk about it. All right, so let me put you back in the queue real quick. Now, so we were talking about Derek. Now, because we're running our short time, we have to get to it, and I know we have other people. We have to talk about this Kevin Samuels thing. We have to. It's important. We need to. We lost Lyric Marie. I'm trying to get her back right now as we speak. But with the Kevin Samuels thing, I'm going to let, since I let Quinn lead, I'm going to let Dawood lead on the Kevin Samuels thing. So it's all you, baby boy. Take
what
that
about
over.
It, though? What about Kevin? What about Kevin Samuels?
You know the whole thing about being a high-value man and the way that he talks to women and the way that certain things go on, how people call him for advice, everything else, how people have problems with it and things of that sort. And not only that, the difference is the juxtaposition between the two. You know, whereas Kevin Samuels, I believe, speaks like directly, like he's not trying to be anything. He just tells people what he tells people. And he's not trying to hold himself out as a guru. You just call him and ask him a question, he answers the question. But, you know, I don't think he puts on the same type of airs as anything else. But, you know, at the same time, you know, there's always a question of validity between that. So I'm going to leave that open for everything else because, you know, people are saying that there's a problem with him talking to the way he talks to certain people. And then is there a modicum of truth of what he's saying, which to me there's a degree of truth in everything that everybody says. But in particular with certain things, like he questions the reality of the people of the things that they ask. And I don't think people like that very much. So I leave that to the council to answer itself. And actually, I want to go to Nikki Black because I want to go to Nikki Black and I want to go to Angel Kim because they haven't said too much. So, Black, what is your opinion on Kevin Samuels?
I think I like him. He's definitely entertaining. I think he's honest. There's some things I disagree with. One in particular, you know, I was listening to an episode and a woman paid to have her question answered. You know, she got on live with him and stuff like that, and she was polite. She was polite. You know what I mean? You know, I believe some of the women get on there. I think they, at this point in time, they a little starstruck or whatever the case may be, but she was polite, you know what I mean? Slightly emotional, like some women are, you know what I mean? But then it came a point where he called her a fat bitch. And me as a, you know, a brother, I was just like, wow, like that was unwarranted. It was unnecessary, you know what I mean? Then that's when I started seeing ego with this dude. I was just like, all right, so now, you know, when you probably had like maybe 500 subscribers and 1,000 subscribers, you was cool and calm. Now you up over 500,000 and you got people just chiming in and entertaining and they seeing these women that be on there and stuff like that. The niggas forget, like, after a while, like, you know, remain humble, bro. But to come out your face and call her a fat bitch, I took issue with that. Now, if that was my sister and my sister didn't want to listen to my advice and she decided to call Kevin Samuel, and you're like, yeah, da 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 da, and you know whatever she's saying to Kevin Samuel, and then Kevin Samuel calls my sister a fat bitch. When I see him, I got an issue. I'm gonna have to address them accordingly. Like, yo, why you call my sister a fat bitch in front of your whole audience like that, bro? That was unnecessary. That right there was like strike one for me. You know what I mean? Also, when he was going with the white women, going at it, you know what I mean? He handled them white women very well. And they was real sarcastic. They was way more rude. They was rude, especially one of them. I think her name was Amanda. She was rude, you know what I mean? But you ain't calling no bitch. So I tend to see that he has a certain way of talking to sisters. And, you know, some people feel like he addresses them, all women, accordingly. But nah, I didn't hear, I heard like maybe 30 videos. I listen to this dude daily when I'm at work because he's entertaining. I like it. But when I heard that fat bitch, and I didn't feel that. That was a strike. That was a strike because I was just like, you know, the little small amount of white women that was on there, and that one in particular where you went viral on and she was real sarcastic, you ain't call her out her mouth. You ain't say skinny bitch, or you ain't say none of that. So I didn't like that part. But other than that, the dude is entertaining. The dude is cool. You know what I mean? I'm surprised a lot of women that come onto the show, they just don't answer the questions accordingly because he asks the same freaking questions every time. So I'm surprised they ain't got hit to that yet. But nevertheless, though, the dude is entertaining. I ain't got too many strikes. Right now, he's just at strike one.
Okay.
Can I say something about Kevin really quick?
Can I let Angel Kim answer and then I can have you come in?
Sure.
Okay. Angel?
As far as Kevin Samuels, I don't listen to him. I've listened to a few of his podcasts and I didn't like him. To me, it's pure entertainment, and that's what I chop it up for. He's rude. I've seen him get rude with, like you said, mostly our women. I've never seen him be rude with anyone else. But the way he talked to black women, African-American women, to me is just appalling. So I tune him out. I don't even bother with him. As far as the Derrick Jackson situation, you know, everybody's human. Everybody makes mistakes. The fact that he goes after, as far as what he's sexually attracted to versus how his wife is, to me it's funny because you're telling people one thing but you're doing something else. I stopped tuning in to him a long time ago because he just comes across fake to me. I will say that, yeah, he did have a lot of good advice here and there. But, yeah, I think everybody's human. He made a mistake. I do think he was baited with the young lady who took pictures. But the second young lady, you know, I don't think she baited him. I think it just happened. Now, do I agree with the statement that was made that if he wasn't who he was now, women wouldn't pay him attention? I don't think that's true because he is a handsome brother. He does carry himself in a certain way. So yeah, women will still be attracted to him. I think more. I think he attracts more women, and because of his status. Because of his status, but yeah, I think he will still attract women. So that's my opinion.
Okay. All right, Joan. I mean, Clint.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm still back on my other statement about telling women who are side chicks. Here's the thing. You can't – I'm back on it. Because my thing is this. What I think we do is we tend to vilify women a whole lot more as opposed to really, like, you know, when it comes to Derrick Jackson. And I know she didn't mean it for this particular comment, but I'm going to just say – It gets a pass with, all, you know, we're all human. And when it comes to women, we need to talk to these side chicks. No, we need to talk to these men that are marrying women pretending to be fucking husbands. That's what we need to do. If you're not signing up for the full bride of being somebody's husband, i.e. not fucking with other people, then don't do it. Because, you know, people get together for various reasons, as I think it was Dawood who stated that. It might have been Dawood or Van, but they get together and they have whatever their reasons are for going outside of their moral code, or they have whatever reasons for doing whatever it is they want to do as consenting grown adults. And what we do is we misappropriate our moral code to other people's lives.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it causes issues. And that's why I said, when you talk about being, you know, even when we started and we talked about being a hoe, here's the thing. What all of the adults in my life consent to is our business. And your words and applications for that mean nothing to me. It's only until I personalize it and it means something to me that I think of this as right or wrong or whatever. So, you know, it's not a conversation that needs to be had with women about closing their legs to married men. It's a conversation about married men staying in your house and fuck your own wife. That's where it starts, because he's the one who made the promise. I didn't promise another motherfucker nothing.
Ooh, wow.
Well, all right.
Well, okay, so, so
how about the Knicks?
Yeah.
Derrick Jackson. Now, the Knicks got a winning record, don't they? All right, who said Derrick Jackson? Who said Derrick Jackson?
Andre.
I think Derrick Jackson and Kevin Samuels are the same. So whereas Derrick Jackson was pandering to the women audience, Kevin Samuels is pandering to the male audience, giving them what they want to say.
Hold on for 1 second. There's a lot of noise in the back room. Please, who's ever making a noise, please mute your mic. We are hearing every single thing that you're doing. So please mute your mic if you can. I don't know who it is. I can't tell because I'm not looking at the board right now. But I need you to mute your mic so we can hear you. Andre, please continue.
Yes. So Kevin Samuels panders to the male audience, particularly black men. And as the brother said a few minutes ago, he's on there disrespecting black women. I heard him tell one woman she was ugly and she didn't deserve a good man because she was ugly. So I think they're both the same, in the same category of being just a poor quality man, that the men are eating up Kevin Samuels. You know, he's over 500,000 people watching. Well, y'all are the ones paying for that. Every time you tap in to watch him, you're paying for that. The women chose to tap on or double tap on Derrick Jackson. So I think they should both be crucified. I think they should both be thrown out with the bathwater because they're not helping either.
Crucified?
Really. I don't see their purpose. And it's going to be a whole bunch of hurt men still out there thinking women are this and women are that, when they need to go do their own work. And it's a whole bunch of women that felt empowered by Derrick, when that's not the case and they need to go do their own work.
Okay, so here's the devil's advocate question, all right? So when Jada Pinkett, you know, because I had to go there, when Jada Pinkett had Will Smith at the table on the Red Talk table, and she was talking about, you know, her,
her thing. You know, Will sitting there. And I, honestly, I think Will has his own dalliances. I just think he's really fucking smart about his shit. I think he's super smart about his shit. But Jada was very public with August Alsina. And then August was acting a goddamn fool, like a lovesick puppy. You know, but she literally sat up there. And everybody jacked what she was doing. Everybody jacked what she said. Everybody's with it. But we're not with it what happened with Derrick Jackson. But as many people that weren't with it for Derrick Jackson, a lot of people cheered for Jada. So how does that work? How does that come in, you know? And honestly, because I don't think August Alsina is okay. You know, I think he's young. You know, he's running around, you know, he's a strapping young man with a strapping young penis, and that's what she needed at the time. That's what she needed at the time. But everybody jacked what Jada was saying, and Will looked like like, I don't know how Will sat there. Like, I just don't. I can't figure it out, you know, because I know what it feels like to be in that situation.
He sat that same way that wives have been sitting there for years. He stood by his woman, and he didn't go out and lose his money. Because here's the thing, they're far more valuable together than they are apart. And that's the reality. Like Andra said one thing, she said, I don't know what their purpose is. All of these people's purposes is to make money off of anybody who's willing to pay for them to talk about things they may or may not be experts in real life.
All right. That's what happens. But before we do that, it is now 10:57. If you are streaming, we're not going to continue. It is a school night. We aren't going to continue that much longer. People have things to do. Beds got to be jumped into. People got to do things. People got to touch people, get touched, whatever. Consent is sexy. But if you are streaming, you want to continue the conversation, you must call 319-527-6300. Again, I repeat, that's 319-527-6300 in order to do that. The Blog Talk lady does not play. She will cut you off, and you'll be like, yo, I don't know what happened. You got to call in. Make sure that you call in before. You know, and everybody knows after 11, we get into the after dark track, and we let everything fly. So you can hear that. You have to catch it on the replay. But until then, you got to call in. The number is, again, I repeat, you know, 319-527-6300. This is the Epiphany Radio Universe here on the For Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links LLC. You know, make sure to, you know, get those bracelets. It's sexy. It's dope. And he mails them off in timely fashion, too. That's black people doing real business for you. I like that. All right, now, back to what you're saying. So did Jada take advantage of August Alsina?
Yes, she did, and she's out of line.
Absolutely.
As a woman, you know, a delegate of the womanhood, I don't support Jada in that. I think that she should have handled that a little different, and that's extra nasty. That's your son's friend. You know, I could never smash someone my son's age. Friend. She was wrong, and that was deceitful of her. And so it goes back to this vulnerable thing. Are we confusing lust with vulnerability? And so we're saying, oh, he was in a tough spot, she was in a tough spot, vulnerable spot. So they fell into each other. I just think she owed him more than that as a the elder person in the situation.
How was he?
I got a better question.
J-Rod.
I got a question. Who gives a fuck? Because I'm not in Will's circle. I'm not in Jada's circle. I'm not in Kevin's circle and that other clown. I could give less than a damn because what they do, we have a bad habit in the black community of looking at celebrities and and I'm not saying this in every cause, in every case, but we have a bad habit of looking at celebrities saying that what they do is indicative of the entire black community, and that's not true. That's them. That's them. And as the brother said about the cat who has his internet show and he's entertaining, personally, some of the stuff he says is comedic and a lot of the stuff is clownish. But can't deny the brother got a platform And until people stop tuning in, he's going to have a platform for his coonery and buffoonery and the other nonsense that he does. Again, when it comes to Jada and Will, who gives a fuck? They not in the Bronx. I got real shit going on in the Bronx. So I got real life issues happening. What they got going, they got Hollywood problems. And Hollywood problems got nothing to do with Forrest Project. Dig? So I got you know, homeless shelter situations happening. When rich people got problems of infidelity, that's they bullshit. That's not indicative of everybody in the black community. Some people are going through that, but that's not all of us. That's a couple million people you asked me talking about. But basically, I'm like, man, please, who cares? Because what he eat don't make me go to the bathroom. And I can't put a Hollywood person and say, wow, that's exactly how things are happening in the black community. That's bullshit. I'm sorry for cursing, but still, who cares?
Me and Athal, who the fuck cares? wait, who the fuck cares about me? Anyway, so
and even
right,
with Will and Jada.
Well, I mean, we're just talking about Will and Jada. All right, so I'm going to throw this. This is an extra topic I'm going to throw out there. I'm going to ask everybody how they feel about it. Because personally, as a person with two adult children, and I know I get into it with them, you know, well, not my son so much, but my daughter. How did y'all feel about Kirk Franklin cursing out his son?
Oh,
I'd like to hear that from the War Council. I like to hear that. So I'm gonna run through top to bottom. We're gonna do this in an orderly fashion. We're gonna ask everybody so that everybody gets their opinion on it. So we're gonna go Angel Kim, go through the ladies first, and then run through the fellas. So starting with you, Angel, how'd you feel about Kirk Franklin cursing out his son?
He should have. I mean, I do think it's a type of way you talk to your children, and I don't condone a parent cussing their child out, but we're human, like I stated before, and we all have that point where we do say things that sometimes we don't mean it, and then again, we say things that we do mean, and maybe that's what his son needed at that time. Should his son have recorded it? No, he did that just to put it out there in the world and to try to shame his dad, but, I mean, as a parent, I don't know too many parents that haven't cursed out their kids.
Hmm. All right. Tanya.
So, as far as the Kirk situation, that was a grown man talking to another grown man that had gotten out of pocket that happened to be his son. And in that particular instance, we all know the son only put out a particular part of it. So he was being manipulative and divisive and wanted to bring his dad down and to look in a certain way. I've never cussed out my son. My son is 21. I've never cussed him like that. But I also believe that a mother-son relationship is totally different than a father-son. And many times a father got to jack a son the hell up to remind him who is the adult in the situation. And it just so happened to be two grown people. But I did want to say this about the whole Kevin Samuels. I was trying to jump in, but never could get in. But anyway, so I don't know if y'all are aware, but a week before this stuff came out with Derrick Jackson, Kevin Samuels had his own little thing in the news where his daughter, you know, and that's my problem that comes in with him. He's pandering to the males, and he's saying this and being a high-value man, but apparently you're a piss-poor man because your family is coming out saying about the way that you mistreat them, how you're a deadbeat father, how you're not responsible in your manhood, and yet you're out here making it look like you are. So once again, we're all fallible, but I think I heard Van or Dawoo say before that if you put yourself on that pedestal, your doing probably is going to be the own hands that pull you down off that pedestal.
That was Dawoo, yep.
All right. So we're gonna go to Quinn, and if people want to have that conversation, please respond to it when we get to you. Quinn, your opinion.
You know, Kirk is a fellow Texan, and so I mean, you know, my kids are not adults yet, and so I would hope that they would remember, like the Bible says, remember
remember the days of old. I need them to remember that, you know, they're going to get out of my house and be, listen, I need them to remember that they, when they leave out of my house, they're going to be, you know, under grace. But I need them to remember the laws that existed because they're going to probably always exist. You know, I'm hoping that I don't ever have to get to that point, and I would hope that my relationship with my children would not be one where they feel the need to tear me down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what, like, for me, I want to know, I mean, well, and I really don't care, but the video made me think, like, what is it that happened between y'all specifically over what period of time that has it where your kid is recording you to out you when I know for a fact from people that I know who know them personally, super personally, that you gave them everything you could. But I also look at it as, you know, a generational curse thing because I know Kirk didn't have a good relationship with his dad. So, you know, it's one of those things where you do have to learn how to be a parent if you want to be successful, and you have to learn how to parent each child individually. So, I mean, it's just more, way more questions than I have answers or responses.
Well, you know, they're saying that Kirk or somebody molested Tyrion, and that is what this trauma is stemming from.
Okay. That's something we definitely have to get to. Yeah. All right, so Black, what's your opinion on it?
On Derek Jackson or Jada Pinkett?
It could be on anybody
Kirk Franklin,
that you choose.
Bro. Kirk Franklin.
I just didn't entertain it. I mean, I heard about it, and I didn't hear the video, but I've seen Steve Harvey and Corey Holcomb and a bunch of other people was just saying, yo, Kirk Franklin wasn't wrong. So I guess I can just go off that notion. And with Derek Jackson, until Dalwood posted him whoever posted him in the video, in the War Council group, that was you, Mojave?
Yeah.
All right, so that was like my first time seeing him in a couple of years. When I first seen him as a man, usually men know when niggas is full of shit. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, this dude full of shit. And I said, I ain't rocking with him. You know what I mean? And then boom, a year later and some change. You know, just pat myself on the back for being right.
All right, can we go to we're gonna go to Van Meadows.
For whatever reason, man, I don't see why people think that Kirk Franklin is God. He's just a man like the rest of us. He just happens to do the work of the Lord and make music. But he's still a parent. He's still a father. I have said harsh words to my 12-year-old, but it wasn't as harsh as what he said. Now my 25-year-old, you know, he's a grown man. And the moment that he thinks that he needs to break bad at me, then we got some issues. So I might get out of pocket and go there with him. But he's a man. You know, we as men, our children, or anybody else for that matter, that rise up in us, we still have a man nature. There's this aggressiveness. Two men are going to butt heads when someone says something that one of us don't like, period. So he's a man. You know, more importantly, he's that boy's father. So he raised him. He's giving him things that his dad didn't give him. So there's a respect factor that must be met. And when you come disrespectful at me and I'm doing all I can for you, then, yeah, I'm going to give you some harsh words if I'm angry or if I'm upset. Now, we might talk about it later. I may apologize later. But he's a man. He's going to make mistakes. And as far as I'm concerned, I didn't see anything wrong. He was a man. So that's what I got to say.
All right. That's what's up. We're going to go to Dawood. Dawood, then we go to Tim. And then we have somebody hit the thing, so we have another caller. Oh, my God. That's crazy. But go ahead. Dawood.
Let me speak to this from an intimate perspective. When you have children by multiple women, I have 5 children by 2 different women, and I married both of them. Never had any children out of wedlock. When you have children by multiple women, the child, the oldest child from the situation that you left, 9 times out of 10 does not forgive you as a man for leaving.
Nope.
To him, you left his mother, and it doesn't matter if she was a raging bitch from hell. The only thing, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, good. The only thing that matters to him is you left my mother, and what I learned years later is what it means is you left me. So when that situation went down with Kirk Franklin, I knew exactly what I was looking at. Because what I was looking at was a dude who still carries on his heart, you left my mother. And quite frankly, there's nothing you can really do to change that perception. That person, that child has to grow up and go through therapy and then realize that it would be better off if your mother and your father weren't together than they were together, but that child still holds that against you, whether it be male or female, and they pass it off through microaggressions. They will pass it off passively aggressive. They feel like they're fighting the battle their mother should have fought with you, and they'll carry it on for the rest of their life. And Kirk Franklin snapped because at some point he said, my nigga, I gave you everything, and you still trying to carry on this battle? And I know that that's what it was because I saw it, and I've been through it myself. And let me tell you something. I've taken my children to the movies, to the restaurant, everything that I could think of when they were younger. And I still had the same kind of problems with my oldest child. Because the reality of it is, how dare you leave my mother? You should have stayed there. Who gives a fuck about your happiness? Who cares about your sanity? Who cares about the fact that you could have actually committed suicide in a situation because you felt like there was no hope for you? All I care about is you should have been there with my mother. And
well,
that's what I think about that situation.
I don't think it's about being there with my mother. I think the reality is children feel abandoned. And it's really an internalized, like they get in their mind as you left my mother. But essentially, they don't care about you leaving their mama either. They care about the fact that you left them and went on to start a new family without them.
Well, I myself am speaking from I'm speaking from a father's perspective. And
right. And I'm speaking from a child's perspective. You see what I'm saying? From a child's perspective.
You just said you don't think it is, and I'm telling you that not only did I hear this from my child, but I heard this from many other children as a minister and counselor. They said those exact words is you left my mother.
Right.
Okay.
And I'm saying as a child, though. I'm saying as a child, I'm thinking you left my mother, but what I'm internalizing is you left me. So I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying the emotional part that the kid can't let go of is the fact that they too were left behind, like a package deal.
Yeah, sister, I did say
that. They're just not expressing that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying they're just not expressing that.
Okay.
No, they are.
So,
that's what he said.
No, I mean, they're expressing, But here's what I want to do, because I want to return that, but I want to make sure we get everybody on, and we can come back to that portion of the conversation. We'll put that, because we still have another caller, and we still have to hear from J-Rob and Tim. So, Tim.
Yes, sir.
All right.
When they going to do the celebrity death match?
My man.
So soon.
Money on Jackson. Got my money on Jackson.
Yeah, I'm taking Jackson too. I'm taking Jackson too.
But no, I mean, I grew up in the South, and I'm sorry, buck up. You wake up in the hospital. You better go at Kirk right
say
now.
Say so, Tim. Say so.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, like, I was estranged from my oldest son for 10 years. He quit talking to me. But he also tried to put his hands on me, and I laid his ass out.
Word.
Because he disrespected me. He came back and apologized, and now we have a very good relationship. Kirk just did what he did. The boy was disrespectful. He got what he got. But he was a punk ass about it and tried to expose him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. We're going to go to J-Rob.
I have two things on this. One, I agree with the brother who just spoke. I don't have any kids, but I watched my older brother step to my dad. Give you an idea.
Mm.
My dad married my mother while she was pregnant from another dude. Because the cat who she was seeing was really disrespectful and was like, that's not my kid. My pops was in love with her and married her anyway and gave my brother his name. Cool. Years go on, my brother's in his 20s, and my pops is a southerner, so my pops is a disciplinarian because my pops is like, I didn't have, and if I'm providing for you, your only job is to do what I need you to do so you can do what you want to do. And my brother stepped back and told my pops, if you ever put your hands on me, I will fuck you up. And my father put him to sleep. So like the brother who spoke previously, when my brother woke up, he had a little get right. But then listening to these fools in the streets, my brother went and got a gun and tried to pull a gun on my pops. That didn't go well.
Oh, wow.
Because he's like, you're not going to put your hands on me. My father said, I'll die in this house and you will die with me before I let you do that. And he meant it. My pops is my height, 250 pounds, really big hand southern boy who had nothing but nerve and not afraid. So for your child that you raised to say, you're not going to discipline me anymore, especially when you're in the wrong, and say, I will fuck you up, as man to man, at the point of 25, and Kurt's son is in his 30s. So let's put that in perspective, too. You in your 30s saying this to your father. And like the brother said previously, if he'd been in front of him, because we all do not know the story, regardless of everything, we don't know the story. But if a 35-year-old man says something to a 50-year-old man, he got every right. And that's your flesh and blood that you sired? Tell your wife, get out the house, because I'm about to handle
that's
this kid.
That's right.
Get out the house. Yes, you're not going to stop me from what's about to come to this kid. And you're going to lay him out and be like, I love you with all my heart, and I will die for you, but I'm going to knock you unconscious. Second, the piece that I have a serious problem with is why was this man on national television apologizing and telling white America what he did with his child? Whoa. I was like, somebody in that circle should have been like, you tell America to kiss your ass. That's your child. You don't get on the television with Michael Strahan and try to puff this down on Good Morning America and NBC and CBS trying to defend yourself and talk about your child. How the fuck you defend yourself to white America because this is your child and white America is saying, oh, we have to be nice to our children even when they're adults and they're in the wrong. Fuck out of here. I'm sorry. I get really mad about us justifying our position with white America, telling black people how to deal with their children, especially with two grown men talking.
Right.
That's right.
So please excuse me with that, but I'm sorry. But still, Kirk Franklin, I don't believe the man was in the wrong. His son was about a bitch recording it and putting it on Instagram and other media when he could have just stepped to his father like, this is where I'm at with you. But you're going to put it on, you're going to put it out there for the world and let the world try to crucify this man after he hasn't told you I've given you everything and you still on that? Man, talk to me. Don't do that nonsense. And then white America wants an explanation from Kirk Franklin like he did when he spoke to Oprah Winfrey. Talking about his porn addiction. I'm like, man, but this is the thing about these celebrities. It's like, I wish you would. No child of mine is going to talk to me in a reckless manner and think there's no repercussions behind that. It's not happening.
Right.
One of us is going to see to it that the other person is asleep, and I will bury you. Like Dad used to say, Dad said, I brought you in this world, and I will take you out.
Take you out.
Yeah.
Ozzie Davis did the same for L. Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah, that's hilarious. But to add to it, I would not believe in my right mind that I would ever talk crazy to my father. I would never do it. Like I understand my father so much more now, but even then, even at my age, like I've always been a barrel chest motherfucker, as they would say in my house. I always had the wide shoulders, and my father would lay me out. My father, he said, you want to listen? You think you a man? I'm going to hit you like a man. And that's what he did. and my father's hands were not light. And my face was very bruised, and I bled all over the place. And I learned my lesson at that point that, you know, you be quiet when grown people are talking, you know, because that's what happens. You can't sit there and tell someone who takes care of you, who's raised you, who's given you everything. And my thing is, it's a bit of leverage for him, because if his father has given him everything and it still continues to do so, and then you're trying to leverage him to get him to make him look bad because you're emotionally feeling bad about the situation, you're only making your situation worse, because now Kurt can just cut you off. And if you have no tangible skills and you haven't done anything, you haven't made a name for yourself, you haven't done anything for yourself, you have no savings, you have nothing else, you're living on his goodwill, you just fucked up. You just fucked up. You dropped the ball.
Well, you know the worst part about it is, Mohammed, as good as the person as Kurt Franklin is, you know he's not going to cut him off. You know,
despite what he does,
still going to support him.
I don't know. I just know that people do different things with their children. You know, I know that when it comes to, like, your oldest, just like your oldest. Hold on, let me finish. Like you say with your oldest, I get into it with my daughter all the time. You know, my daughter
right.
always comes
right.
to me and says, oh, you treat your sons better than you treat me. You know, she even gets to the point where she gets upset with Jaja because she thinks Jaja is getting all the stuff. All right, can someone mute their thing?
Yeah,
whoever that is,
mute
your mic. Whoever that is, mute your mic, please. All right, but
looks like it went away.
She gets to the point where, like, even her little brother, like, it's like this jealousy thing, like, oh, you know, blah blah blah. And I'm like, listen, you know, my kids chose, like, my son chose me, she chose her mother, it didn't work out favorably, you know, like, my sons chose me. That's, I can't help that, but. When you go with someone who manipulates the situation, then you're coming back to me saying, oh, we haven't had a good relationship since I was 4. I know you're trying to manipulate the situation. And you want to curse and yell at me. And I'm like, yo, I'm not going to stand for you cursing and yelling at me. And you're like, well, why can't I curse and yell at you? Why can't I do this? Because I'm angry. And I'm angry and I need to express myself. No, you're not going to disrespect me. And we're not going to have this conversation. You can have a conversation by yourself. Right? Because certain people
make it seem like...
Hold on for a second. Some people make it seem that it's okay for you to do that type of disrespect or to do anything. You know, and she's like, oh, you're just like Grandpa. Yeah, I am. I'm never going to stand for it. I'm never going to jack that respect. And if you're trying to blame me for your relationships failing when you have options, you have counseling, you have all these different things that have been offered to you, and you refuse to take them, then you want to wallow in your misery. That's all there is to it. Now, Tanya, what's your question?
So my question is this. We talked all night about the everything else, but the last part on that flyer is the biggest thing that I'm concerned with. How do we begin
healing.
To heal? When do we start taking ownership for our hurt, for our pain, and begin to heal? Because that's my whole thing. I listen to us. I think one of the things that I definitely have learned from the Samuels and Jackson situation, watching it progress over the past couple of weeks, is that we as black women and black men, one of the things that we're missing is we don't assist in healing each other. A lot of us don't, because we have our independence, so to speak, and we don't assist in healing each other. And I think why a lot of guys were so glad that nigga is down, you know, is because they felt like we as women were listening to his words and not listening to the sound reasoning of men that was telling us, listen, he's not who you think he is, you know. Don't listen to a man that talks this type of crap, because this is how he is. And so, like I said, how do we begin to heal, and when do we start taking ownership for our healing?
Mohammed, can I jump in on this?
Yes, you can.
All right. So I actually dealt with this in my life a few years ago. I was separated for some years, going, doing a back and forth thing with my wife on if we're going to get together or not, end up having a baby. I had to go to the mirror and look at myself and ask myself what it was about me that didn't make me happy. And then once I started working on me, then I was able to address the situation with my marriage. I believe you can't love nobody else if you don't love yourself, period.
Exactly.
So
I think as men, we have to take personal accountability for our actions and acknowledge that, okay, yeah, in our younger days, we may have done some foolish stuff, but now we've grown. And I have a one-year-old daughter. I'd be damned if she meet the old me, period. So I have to look at, okay, you know what? I messed up right here. I messed up right here. Damn if I do, damn if I don't. If I'm out here acting the ass and then expecting some little young dude to come up and treat her with respect, it don't work that way. But I have to take accountability for myself. I'm in the mental health field. I also started doing therapy and recognizing my triggers and my flaws and going, okay, you know what? This is a problem for me. What's my treatment plan? What's my coping mechanism? So I'm not out here being a Derrick Jackson or a Kevin Samuel. Because when I say something to somebody, I want to know for a surety that I held myself 100% accountable. And if I'm in the wrong, tell me I'm wrong. But if I'm right, damn it, I'm right. That's it.
That's legit. Does anyone ever have other comments about healing?
Hello?
I do.
They find a circle. I would say find a circle.
Everyone's silent. They're like, we're all right.
No. Yeah. I was basically on mute. What I want to say is this, and this is kind of tying into the Kirk Franklin situation.
Hello?
Dawoo.
Oh, I went out. I'm sorry. When I first came in the nation, the first thing I did was I wrote my dad. And, you know, I am a child of domestic violence, and I run an award-winning domestic violence class. So the first thing I did was I wrote him, told him everything that I felt in the most respectful of ways. So a couple of years later, like maybe 2-3 years later, I had moved down to Jacksonville for a little while with my dad, and I remember one day he was super drunk, and he told me that he read that letter, and he said that if I was right there when he read the letter, that he would have did this and that. I said, but did you read it? He said, yeah. So that allowed us to have a dialogue. It wasn't disrespectful. And today, me and my dad talk 2 to 3 times a day. My dad is responsible for all my financial success because I'm second generation security technician. And the thing is, there's a right way to deal with perceived hurt, and there's a wrong way to deal with perceived hurt. When you try to tape somebody, that's the wrong way. When you try to put your hands on somebody, that's the wrong way. But when you set up honest dialogue and the other person is willing to listen to you, then you can have it. Healing starts with honesty on both sides. Me being now in a dating game again, one of the first things I ask women I talk to is, can you live in honesty? Can you live in honesty? Because if you can live in honesty, then we could put together a you know, whatever it is that we want to put together. But if you cannot live in honesty, because I know that I'm going to live in honesty. And that kind of, to me, was my answer to the whole should you be hoeing in a relationship. Because to me, to be honed in a relationship is not living in honesty. And that's one of the reasons why, after so many years of staying in bad relationships, I had to leave because I was not willing to lie. I was not willing to lie to whoever I dealt with, and I was not willing to lie with anybody I dealt with on the outside. So to me, if we're going to deal in healing, it has to be honesty. When it comes to Kevin Samuels and Derrick Jackson, the both of them were speaking certain level of honesty. And I have to admit that. Whether I like Kevin Samuels or whether I like Derrick Jackson, the both of them had a certain level of honesty. The problem is the delivery of the honesty. And the problem is how you present yourself as a person that is projecting this honesty. Because if you as a person always say, I'm flawed, you know what I'm saying? If you as a person always project yourself as having flaws, then people will always love you and they will always respect you. It's when you come off as if you don't have any flaws when the people grow animosity and they have a problem. If you're constantly beating your chest saying, I'm this and I'm that, but you niggas is messed up, you know what I'm saying? That sets up a bad dichotomy. But when you say, listen, I come from the same level as y'all do, people get under you and they'll lift you up and they'll love you. And that's why in my class, gentlemen from prison who are felons feel me, even though I've never been to prison myself, is because I speak authentically and I talk about the bad shit that I've been through in my life and how we can heal from it. So there has to be honesty, there has to be vulnerability, and there has to be absolute authenticity.
I totally agree with that. But before you can be honest with someone else, you have to be honest with yourself and manifest your own feelings, because a lot of people don't deal with what they're feeling inside. So that's why they can't deal with, you know, their feelings for someone else. So you have to be able to be truthful with yourself. Admit that you're hurt. Admit that, you know, this is how this made you feel. If you contributed to the issue, admit that. Be honest with yourself and not think that, okay, they just did this just because or you know, whatnot. I contributed to this situation. So it has to be honesty not only with the other person, but honesty with yourself.
Anyone else contributory?
I think you have to find a circle of people that you can actually be honest and vulnerable with, and not just about your flaws, but also about your successes and what is next for you. Because I think sometimes we spend so much time saying, oh, I'm healing, I'm healing, I'm healing. All we kind of do, sometimes what we do is we sit and stay in that trauma and we allow that trauma to mold us for years and years to come under the auspices of I'm healing from something. And we use that trauma to revert back to behaviors instead of owning where we were when we made the last bad decision. Like sometimes, you know, we wanted to do whatever it was with that person because we thought that person was fine and they was cute and they was fly and they paid attention to us. That really has nothing to do with where we were 20 years ago when such and such happened. It was really the feeling that they brought to us right now. But what we do is we tie it all together and we keep dragging the trauma along. So at a certain point, we really need to start to cut that trauma off and not give it as much attention. Like I think the whole thing about healing is we give a lot of attention to some things that we probably would have outgrown if we actually took good stock of where we are in life at this point.
Okay. All right. More commentary? Because I still have a parking lot question. I forgot about that. Thanks to the chef for reminding me. Anyone else having to respond on that?
I don't think you necessarily have to find a group of people to talk to. I mean, not everything needs to be discussed among everyone else on what goes on in your household. So I don't know if I agree with that. But I mean, if you can find one person that you can talk to that you can trust that can help you work through it, then I guess that's good.
Okay. So Here's where we're at. I mean, as far as healing is concerned, to answer the question, I think healing takes place with much like everybody else says, being honest with yourself and understand what it is. Tim is very honest, like, in saying, like, you be damned if something come to it. Like, me facing up to my baby girl saying, oh, well, this person was like this because you cheated on mom, and you know, it was like a whole convoluted conversation. But I have to take in reality that might have affected her in such a way. But I also don't agree to the manipulation that occurred to go along with it. But I know that when you come to terms with yourself at the end of the day and you understand exactly who you are and what you've been through, you're able to have a stark realization to take dishonesty. And then if you go get counseling, if you go get therapy, if you do talk to people, if you have a trusted circle of friends, if you have good conversations with people, you get wise counsel. Almost every bad decision I made in life was because I didn't have counsel. I didn't have good counsel.
Amen.
I had bad counsel, mm-hmm. and I didn't have people. I didn't have people who were. I didn't have people around me who were for me. They were for them. They were for what they wanted, for what they wanted to get, and anything else. And to the point, or even encouraging me to be and to stay into bad situations, where it didn't benefit me or prosper anything. It made anything worse. Like, and the tale of two cities is like my children, right? So my daughter's telling me how everything was bad because of the relationship. And my son was like, everything was bad because you didn't leave when you were supposed to leave, you know? And my son was right. He's like, you know what? Life could have been a whole lot better if you had divorced mom and moved on. Point blank. He's so serious. But
yep.
he was so right. Because I
yep.
endured things that I had no business enduring. I was with someone who was so toxic, so bipolar, so addicted that I couldn't tell the difference. And so I drove myself crazy. But when I came to realization and confronted myself and moved forward and then saw counseling, got people, got around good counsel, you know, I have a set of friends right now, my friends and family, most of whom are on this call, that I get fucking the greatest counsel in the world because they don't let me slip. They tell me the fucking truth every time I turn around, and you need somebody who's going to do that. And most
yeah,
times when people
yeah.
don't tell you the truth about yourself
right.
and the shit that you do, you fucking suffer. You go through the shit.
Right.
You get
right.
kicked in. You get kicked in your teeth each and every time without failure. Right? And,
right.
and you know, I confront everything straight up. Like, I'd be like, okay, well, listen, this is how I feel. Because I refuse to have regret and resentment towards bullshit that it is. And even with the stuff that happens, like I feel more betrayed by friends than I feel by somebody trying to do me fucking wrong that I never met in the world. I can ignore that shit. But literally, when you get the right to sit down with someone and you're able to express yourself freely, you're able to talk to someone, and you're able to get the answers that you need and desire. My relationship with my parents is 10 times better than it's ever been. Like, to the point that my father yells at me when I come into town and I don't go see him. Well, now he doesn't want to see anybody because of the pandemic. But literally, you know, I thought I hated this man at one point in my life. But I just realized it's the way our parents are raised by our parents and how we create these things and let them go on until we come to realization, here's what I need to do in order to improve me so I can improve those
mm-hmm.
around me. And so
yeah.
those are the things that make the difference in healing with each other, you know, because a lot of times, especially, like, you know, and then we have to actually stop that nurtured idea of love that somebody might have given us to make us think that that's the only thing that exists, when really love is very diverse. It's universal. It has so many different layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see so many different forms of it that you may not be able
mm-hmm.
to recognize. But it's your job to recognize the love that works for you. You got to go get the shit that
mm-hmm.
works for you. If it works for you, then it works for you, and it's got to work, it's got to benefit, it's got to be filling, it's got to be full. You got to actually feel it on your skin, underneath your skin, and understand and recognize it. And it doesn't hurt.
Healthy love.
It does
healthy.
Not fucking hurt.
Healthy love.
Right?
Yeah.
Healthy love does not hurt, but toxic love fucks you up each and every time you get it. It's like fucking stepping on a piece of glass in your shoe and you're still walking. Dumb shit. So with healing, you really have to figure, you have to start with yourself and then extend outwards and then be with people who are for you to rock with you. Like me and Dawood was talking this weekend, we were talking about the itineration of Urban Guerrilla Theater, the thing that I do, right? And it's easily one of most things that, like it's a labor of love for me. Like, it's like my skin. And so to be around other people where it's like their skin, where we breathe it, like we literally breathe it. Like, we get together and shit gets done, and like it's like blinking. Like, it's stupid, right? But before, I used to struggle because I was around people who were no good for me, because they were always trying to figure out ways to take me apart or take me down or kick me off or something or do something to me. You know, it's a strange thing. And I used to be like, oh, I gotta love this thing. And then I literally had people sit in my face, right, the day I was like, listen, I put up all this money. I was like, I can lose money when it comes to this. But you stole money from me. Instead of saying that you realize that you stole the money from me, you're going to say, nigga, what you going? You know, I was like, I need my money. I just got into law school. I need all the money I can get, right? Person just had a heart attack. I got, you know, I got like a 2-year-old. come on, stop fucking with me. And they're like, nigga, you don't need to be going to school. This nigga here rolling on the floor and shit. I was like, I had to deal with people like that, like fucked up people like that, crazy. And now it's like I deal with people, it's like breathing. The better we are when we're together, and we don't even have to do nothing. We just talk and move and do and be. There's a whole difference with that. And that's the way love should be. That's the way relationships, that's a part of healing. When I'm around people, when we talk and we build, part of War Council is about the healing of our community by talking and bringing it out to the forefront and putting it on a platform that everybody can see it and access it. Now, we're not responsible for what you do with the information, but if it helps you, then it helps you. And that's on you. So, ladies and gentlemen,
well
I know we have another
well
call, but
said,
were,
well
you know, I know we well have some stuff
there
to do. It's a school night. I want to thank everybody who came out. I want to thank Miss Angel Kim, Tanya Gordon, Quinita, Van Meadows, Tim About Them Drums Coleman. Stay in the pocket. Stay in the pocket. He knows what I mean by that. Dawood, Nikki Black, Tila Shao. I want to thank Audra for coming through. I want to thank Danielle for listening. I want to thank all the listeners that came in, all the people who streamed, people in my inbox. I want to thank J-Rob, for, you know, thank you, brother. Thanks for everybody who came in. Thank you, Poppy. I know you was listening, and I'm sorry I didn't get to your question. We'll get to it the next time because there was a whole bunch of stuff going there. And she said, fuck Kevin Samuel. Thank you for all the people who put stuff in my inbox. Thank you for our person who allowed me to speak about their situation who was on the call to see what y'all was going to say. That was very, very helpful to them. It was painful, but it was helpful. I look forward to the next installment of War Council. And right now, April is open. April is open. And for the first time in a long time, I'm going to let y'all decide what the topic is. So let's get in the inbox. Let's talk. I'm going to merge the inboxes together so people can have free conversation amongst each other. And let's build this conversation. Let's get this next War Council on. Let's make sure that it's specific to us. Make sure it's egalitarian. It's based on everything that we're doing. Then again, I thank y'all for coming out, for having this amazing, dope conversation and really sharing of yourselves and being honest and really being transparent to the listeners. I appreciate you. I love y'all. Thank y'all for coming through and rocking out with me. It is amazing. Thank you for doing this. I think it's an amazing thing. I think everybody on here is fucking amazing. And I fucks with y'all in real life, so it really helps. All right, so any final words? Any final words? Let's go through any final words. Please say what you got to say.
Don't forget about my T-shirt.
Yo, you really want that T-shirt, though?
I want that T-shirt.
Get in my inbox. I think we can get that done. All right. Who else?
Okay.
Anybody
cool
else? Any final words?
I just
thank you
so
much. I'm always honored.
Oh. All right. Cool.
It's
cool.
Okay. I just saying thank y'all for including me on this. It was very, very interesting, and I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Any other final words?
Thank you for coming out. God bless you and good night.
The Russell Simmons. Hit you with the Russell Simmons. All right. Thank y'all. Yeah, exactly. What he said. What my man said. All right. Take care. Be sure. Tila Shaw, please remind me to post the replay because I never fucking remember. Ever. And you can also direct people to the event page for any other questions that they might have missed, anything else that's going on. I thank y'all for coming. God bless you. Good night. It's been a wonderful show. I look forward to the next installment of War Council, and we'll come up with the topic, we'll put it up, and we'll make it happen. Thank y'all for coming. God bless y'all. Good night.